This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Good Sunday morning. Ty Butler on 98.7 ESPN, hanging with you for the next 4 hours, leading you into the Larry Hardesty Show. So much to get to today. Hit us up at 800-919-3776. We're on Twitter at Ty D. Butler, Instagram as well. Robin Lundberg, host of the Robin Lundberg Show on YouTube, going to join us at 10:30. But for the most part, it's me and you, because we've got so much on the table today. As my guy Alan Hahn likes to say, it's a full buffet. Yesterday, the beginning of the NBA playoffs. Today, you've got the Rangers against the Capitals, game one at the Garden. Yankees coming off of a loss, but still a chance to win this series against the Rays in the midst of a 7-game homestand. The Mets, do they ever lose? That's now 11 wins in their last 14 games since the 0-5 start. Then you've got, of course, the Jets and the Giants about to be on the clock in a matter of, 4 days? So hit us up, 800-919-3776. I mentioned that yesterday was the start of the NBA playoffs, and I almost nailed my prediction on Twitter when I said the reason why I was so excited for Saturday was because I could see this going one of two ways. All the home teams, all the favorites are going to win in blowout fashion, or we're going to get upsets across the board. And we got the former, with the exception being the one close game happening right here in our backyard at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks, 7-point win over the Sixers. 111-104 was the final score. And, I mean, this was a roller coaster of a game, because Philly came out hot, corralled the big lead, then came back the Knicks. But when you watch Embiid go down the way that he did on that left knee, you're thinking, all right, this series is over. They've got no shot. Knicks are going to run away with it, only for him to return. Sixers again take the lead. They go up by as many as 6 in that third quarter. But the Knicks do what the Knicks have been doing all season long, and that was coming up with winning play after winning play. And I'm here to tell you, I think this series is over. That's not overreactionary. That's not hyperbole. I just can't imagine there being a path for the Sixers to win this series after losing the bad Brunson game. Jalen Brunson yesterday was bad. 8-for-26, 22 points. And this came after he had set the world on fire to end the regular season in that month of April, where he was giving you 36-9 on about 50% shooting. No one could stop him. And the Sixers, give them credit, their defense with the zone and Oubre being all in his face provided a lot of resistance. And I'm watching that thinking, all right, if the Sixers are going to win this series or have a chance to do it, they've got to win this game. Because my question coming into it was, who is this more of a must-win for? And then, you know, I started to trend toward the Knicks, because imagine you start the playoffs, you drop your first one at home, then all the pressure on you in game two, because you can't go down 0-2 with the first two games at home. But as you watch the game, with Embiid laboring, Maxey's playing great, Brunson's bad, all of that should add up to a Sixers victory, and they lost the game. So I look at the fact that Brunson had, I mean, one of the worst games he's played all season. Then you look at what the two best players did for the Sixers, Embiid and Maxey combining for 64 points. If you're a Philly fan, I tell you before the game, you're going to get Maxey and Embiid going off for 64. You take that in a heartbeat. Then I pose that to the Knicks fan. You're thinking, yeah, we're going to lose that game. And somehow they won it by 7. And how did they do that? Because despite Jalen Brunson, as I just said, having arguably the worst game he's played all season long, you had Deuce McBride, who wasn't part of the rotation to start the season, come up huge yesterday. You had Mitchell Robinson, who, I remember, initially had been ruled out after ankle surgery, was incredible in that game. And, you know, a tale as old as time, Josh Hart hitting big shot after big shot after big shot. Season-high 4 3-pointers he nailed in that game yesterday including that circus shot he hit at the end of a possession with about a minute left in the game that gave the Knicks a 7-point lead, and you knew that was the dagger. And what's interesting is it's, you know, eerily similar to what we saw in game one of the playoffs last year, if you remember. Knicks in Cleveland with a chance to steal home court advantage, playing pretty well in that game. On one of the final possessions, Josh Hart, top of the key, drains a three-pointer. Josh Hart's not DiVincenzo. He's not Jalen Brunson. He's not, you know, Grayson Allen, one of the premier three-point shooters in the league. He's a guy who the Sixers were daring to take those shots. And all game long, he missed them. But then saved his best for last, which is why you love and respect this team. The heart, the grit, the firepower, the effort. They're not doing it on like high-end talent. You don't look at this Knicks roster and pluck name by name like the Ringer does, top 100 players in the NBA. You're not going to find a lot of Knicks on there outside of Jalen Brunson. But they do it with the team chemistry, with knowing how to make the winning plays late in games. And they're going to fight for every loose ball. They're going to fight for every possession. And the rebounding, once again, was a big story last night. But, I mean, credit Deuce, credit Mitchell Robinson, Josh Hart, every single game comes up with winning plays. And that, by the way, is going to go down as one of the best trades that this regime has made. Because since he got here last year, they've got an incredibly high winning percentage. And you see just why. He is just a winning basketball player. A winning basketball player. So, Knicks take a 1-0 series lead. That felt more than one victory just because I'm looking at Joel Embiid on Wednesday night against Miami laboring through three quarters, and he was awesome in that fourth. They win the game. Then last night, he goes down, looked like the series was over. Everyone's sending their thoughts and prayers. He comes back, which I give him immense credit for because, I mean, he is showing toughness that you just have to admire. And you watched him. He couldn't jump. He had no lateral mobility. He essentially gave you nothing on defense outside of just the verticality. He couldn't jump. Couldn't get rebounds. And you saw on offense, the Knicks, when the Knicks were defending him, they realized, yeah, he can't drive to the basket. He's not posting up. He's going to settle for jumpers. And the compromised version of Embiid, albeit like he was still productive yesterday, still scored a lot of points. That's just not the same guy that won the MVP last year. That's not the same guy who started the season the first month ahead of the MVP race once again. And because he is compromised, it just kind of leaves you questioning whether or not he's going to be able to finish the rest of the series. You watch him yesterday, you think with just one day in between games one and two, is he going to play game two? I'm sure he'll give it a shot. But I would imagine the ideal situation for Philly would have been they steal that game yesterday, and then he's able to, you don't want to do this in the playoff game, and it's something that, you know, people hate about the NBA, but you load manage game two. Look, it sounds idiotic, right? But when you have him playing at this level and you know you're only going to get a couple of cracks at it, you can kind of put together a blueprint where you steal that game yesterday. You're like, you know what? We got what we came to get here in MSG. Let's try to win it without him in game two. But now they're in a desperate situation. So you can't even see that happening. But that's it. That's it. That's a phenomenal win for the Knicks. Just a devastating loss. You losing the bad Brunson game. Because you look across, like, when we analyze these playoff series, and we do it with the best players in the league. You're going up against Giannis, you're going up against Jokic or LeBron or Steph, KD. When they have a bad game and you're the underdog in the series, you've got to find a way to win it. Especially when your two best players give you 64. So it's a crushing loss that feels bigger than just one when you consider the health of Embiid and how the Knicks won that game. Is Brunson going to have another bad game like that the rest of the series? I would imagine he doesn't. He's a smart basketball player, and you saw throughout like the latter part of the season where, you know, teams were throwing different looks at him, whether it's zone, whether it's blitzing him, And over the course of a game, because of his high IQ, because of his, you know, ability to figure it out, he was able to make the adjustments. He's such an unselfish player. He's not going to force the shot. But you just don't anticipate he's going to have another bad game like that. So my question is the series already over? Again, I don't want to be too overreactionary and, you know, hyperbole, just trying to, you know, get people to call in just because that's what we do on talk radio. I just watched that game, and I see how it played out and the context of it all, and I just can't envision a path to victory for the Sixers. Especially with Embiid not being 100%. 800-919-3776. I will say this, though. For all the Knicks fans out there, 7th Ave last night was lit. I know Harvey was at a wedding, so he couldn't be a part of the shenanigans. Tom Bauer was, you know, recording interviews for his baseball podcast. 7th Avenue, chants outside of MSG, not about the Sixers, who they're playing right now, not about the potential opponent next round, the Bucks or the Pacers. They were saying, we want Boston. We want Boston. Be careful what you wish for. Don't look past, and I'm saying the series is over just because of all of the reasons I mentioned. But as fans, like, are you in position to look past Philly? Are you in position to look past the second round? You haven't been to the conference finals in a quarter century. They've won, what, 2 playoff series since the 1999 finals? So are you in position? Or maybe it was 2000. Since 2001, they've only won 2 playoff series. But are you in position as a fan base to feel that comfortable enough chanting, we want Boston, who's on the opposite side of the bracket? You feel that confident in your team right now? Look, I love the energy. There's no buzz quite like what you get from the electricity emanating from, you know, when the Knicks are good in this town. Because, and, you know, part of it is like my hoops bias. I love basketball. But, you know, being in that arena, being around all these Knicks fans, it's just, you know, it's an incredible environment to be a part of. But when you look at post conference finals appearance in that 99-2000 season, coming off the finals loss to the Spurs, and you've won 2 playoff series since then, you feel that gully enough to be chanting, we want Boston? I love it, but, I mean, that's going to be something that's hanging over you for the next month or so. 800-919-3776. The phone lines are lit up, which is incredible. Love the energy that the Knicks fans bring. We're going to talk about the Rangers, too. They've got a big game one today at home against the Capitals. So we'll get into that. Football on the table as well. Baseball, you name it. It's a full buffet. Ty Butler going the next 4 hours right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, man. Is that the smoke you want? We'll hear from the Knicks fans. They're chanting, we want Boston outside the Garden last night. I like it. I like it. I just feel like that's something that will be held against you going forward if you don't, you know, live up to that expectation. Because you want the smoke with, I mean, one of the best regular season teams we've seen in modern NBA history. Just when you go by the record, the point differential, they're like up there with that 2017 Warriors team that, you know, had Kevin Durant. And I did not think the Boston Celtics would come out the East, but I mean, Giannis hurt, and, you know, everything happened. Embiid's hurt. I don't know if the Knicks can beat them. It feels like I'll be wrong about that, but it's just that's a tall order. Get through the next 2 rounds first is all I'm saying. But let's have some fun. Javier's in the Bronx leads us off at 800-919-3776. What's up, Javier?
Hey, what's up, Ty? Good morning, my brother. Good morning. Hope you're doing well.
Same here, man. Good morning. What you got for me?
Check it out, man. You know that I agree with you. Not 100%, 1,000%. I think that there's going to be a game that, you know, Embiid is going to go off. Even though he's not 100%, there's going to be one game that he's going to go off. Presumably, he's going to be probably at home. they might win one game. I see them winning one game. That's it. I mean, DeVincenzo got benched yesterday for McBride. I get it. He was the hot hand. But what are you going to do when he goes off? What are you going to do when Jalen Brunson goes off? It's going to be Maxey. I don't see it. I don't see them winning. I agree with you 1,000%. And I also wanted to tell you something, Ty.
What's that?
When I listen to you, right, you're always saying how, like, I'm going to go a little bit off the rails a little bit. I'm going to derail myself a little bit. You always say that LeBron James is the greatest player that you've seen, right?
Yes.
But, yes, you know that I used to go against that, and then you always used to say that, and I always used to tell myself, why does Ty always say that? Like, why he's always going against the grain? And then I did some research. And you're absolutely right, my friend. And I don't even like LeBron.
There we go.
I don't even like LeBron. You're absolutely right.
It's what we do, man.
It's not Jordan.
We win people over on this program, and I appreciate the call, Javier. And speaking of LeBron James, a ho-hum 27-6-8 performance last night. They lost the game, but at age 39, year 21, putting that type of performance together in a playoff series against the reigning defending champions led by the soon-to-be three-time MVP in the last 4 years. Not too bad for the old guy. But as far as what you said about the Knicks, it's why I feel, because before the series yesterday when I was on, I said I got the Knicks in seven out of respect for what I thought Joel Embiid can do and Maxey. And I think they have a good roster with Oubre and Buddy Hield and Batum and Lowry. Like, they have enough firepower on offense to get after it defensively. Nick Nurse is a really good coach. I thought that they would win their home games and make this a series. But as you kind of recalibrate what it is that you're watching or that you're expecting to happen, you watch DiVincenzo and Brunson, the Knicks starting backcourt, go 11 for 36, scoring just 30 points, and they still win the game because of all these other guys that stepped up, which is why, you know, Kendrick Perkins, in trying to exalt and elevate Jalen Brunson, said something a couple weeks ago to the extent of, like, you know, Brunson's doing it all by himself. Now, what he actually means by that is he's, like, the only star on the team, but it's not by himself. And you saw that last night with Robinson and with Hart and with McBride. I was shocked to see, you know, Hartenstein only play, what did he play, 18 minutes last night? But that just goes to show you, is a testament to just how active and effective Mitchell Robinson was. And when people try to just dismiss him, when he was hurt, saying, yeah, I think the Knicks are better without him, I think Hartenstein's a better player, I just could not gravitate toward that opinion, because I watched him literally change an entire series last year. That Cavs series. Like, he wasn't the best player on the Knicks, but the tone he set on the boards and defensively, where he just erased Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. No, that guy is valuable, especially in this league where, you know, there's so much three-point shooting. You need a rim protector and a guy who can chase these guys over screens. He can hold his own on the perimeter. No, he's a game changer. He's a series changer. And the Knicks have enough of those players, like Josh Hart and McBride and Robinson. Like, they got enough of those guys. Even OG hit the big shot last night where even though you're going to miss Julius Randle, the supplementary and the complementary pieces that Brunson has alongside him just gives you enough to win games like that. And we saw that last night as we go to Flushing to talk to Manny. What's up, Manny?
Hey, how you doing, my man? How you doing?
What's up, bro?
I'm good, man. Listen, you know, go back to LeBron James. This is like the 20th year that he actually averaged at least 25 points a game. And he'll be 40 by the end of the year. I mean, whoever thought that? But let's go back to the Knicks. I mean, great game. I mean, you said it before. Even though Jalen Brunson, he had a good game, but the others stepped up. I mean, that's what a team should do. They always find, and this Knicks team, I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due. They always find wins to win games when things that you're never going to expect. I mean, you know, we expect this team to have 50 wins at a second seed.
Yeah.
And then they come and beat a Sixers team with a hobble and beat and a 33-point performance by by Maxey.
Yeah.
And also this, I mean, no, I don't really expect big from Bogdanovich and McBride. I think they actually had like I think they were a member of that 42 out of, like, they think the Knicks best outscored them 42-6.
Bogey hit some big threes last night. He was active on the board, so he played some valuable minutes too. I should have mentioned him. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, about a week ago, I spoke to your primary Hardesty and Damer, because everybody talks about this big team, or can try to compare the team to the 99 team that got the finals. But I look at this team, they remind me of the 98 team. The 98 team, which they, despite the fact they lost Patrick Ewing up front of the season, they managed to get in a second round, they got bounced in the second round by the Pacers. Because the reason I bring it up, because who knows, we may face Indiana in the second round. And most likely, God forbid, or possibly Miami. Who can think about that?
No, well, Miami's on the other side of the bracket and in the 1-8 matchup with the Celtics. And I appreciate the call, Manny. They're not going to beat Boston. But you're going to get either Indiana or Milwaukee in round two. And I said this yesterday, as I picked the Bucks to win the Eastern Conference. I obviously didn't know Giannis was going to get hurt. I just felt like that team with Dame and Chris Middleton, championship pedigree. Obviously, Dame wasn't there, but the playoff prowess of Lillard, particularly when it comes to crunch time situations, and then the combination of Giannis and Middleton with won a championship together. I thought that they would have enough to get through the Eastern Conference, but it's all carving its way out to it being, I don't want to say easy, but it's right there for the taking, which is why this series is so important for both of these two teams. The Sixers, 32-8, coming into yesterday's game with Embiid on the season, 65-win pace, they have championship aspirations because they feel like, and rightfully so, they've got one of the five best players in the league when he's healthy. He's an MVP, so why not us? They haven't been able to do it, but that's what they feel that they can accomplish. And they're not your prototypical 7 seed. They're there just as a product of circumstance. Meanwhile, the Knicks, 2 seed, 50 wins. I mean, people wanted to, in some ways, dismiss them being the 2 seed just because, are they really a 2 seed? They earned that right to be the number 2 seed. So they legitimately feel like they can get to a conference finals. So both these teams right now, you don't want to look past each other, but have to understandably look at it and say, we get to the next round against Indiana or a compromised Milwaukee team, we can be challenging Boston. We can give them a run for their money. Kevin's in Nutley. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's up? Good morning. You know what? So many great points this morning. You know, playoff Josh is just different. You know, Bogdanovic and Deuce last night give me vibes of, you know, Novak coming off the bench in the Garden, but let me tell you, the X factor, without question, you hit the nail on the head right before the last caller. It's Mitchell Robinson. I mean, if you just watched Mitchell Robinson yesterday in the fourth quarter alone, forget about, listen, he puts his imprint on a game without really having a score. I mean, him getting on the offensive glass, and we know that about Mitch. But yeah, Let's just look at it this way. What Mitch did yesterday in the fourth quarter to Joel Embiid, he had him bottled up yesterday, diving on the floor for a loose ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, even he made, listen, we know Embiid can hit long threes, but to him use his length to come out and just make him settle for those, because he knows coming down the lane, not being so healthy, he's going to be contested by a long Mitchell Robinson. He's the X factor, and he's the reason why. You're right.
And Kevin,
the Knicks are going to win this series in 5 games.
Kevin, how about the 2 free throws that he hit? When they went hack a Mitchell Robinson, he nailed both free, and Breen right before he goes to the line, he's like, this is a good play because Mitchell Robinson is an awful free throw shot. I think he's shooting like 42%, and he nailed
it. Dude works on his free throws all the time, man. And you know what? He won a playoff series last year for the Knicks. He was one of the best players in that Cleveland series, and he's going to do that again, and he's going to get the Knicks to the second round. And listen, you said it too. The Knicks are a 2 seed for a reason. Their bench is deep. I mean, Deuce and Bogdanovic. I mean, when you get production like that from them, Mitchell Robinson, this is a good freaking team, man. And you know what? We're going to win this series in 5-6 games, and we're going to have some time to rest a little bit, because I think that Indiana series is going to go a little bit longer.
That's what you're rooting for, Kevin. Excellent phone call. You're rooting for a grinded out, like whoever comes out of the Bucks-Pacers series, you want that thing going 7 games. You want to see both teams give it their all, because you're going to, the Knicks feel like just on any given day they can beat anyone. They've proven that over the course of a season. But if you get a chance to rest your guys, you know, Brunson's going to play heavy minutes. OG's going to be out there getting after it on both ends, playing heavy minutes. Mitchell Robinson still working his way back into shape. So the wear and tear of a season, you know, Tom Thibodeau teams, we know the narrative on them is he gets them to play with such a level of urgency throughout the course of the regular season. Sometimes they tire out in the playoffs. So if you can wrap this up quickly and then have an extended series between your next opponent, then that's going to work in your favor. But, you know, just to put a bow on that phone call, the reason why I think this series is over is just the Sixers lost. You got a bad Brunson game, and you got 64 points from your dynamic duo of Embiid and Maxey, and you still lost. Dante DiVincenzo got benched because he was ineffective, and McBride was incredible. And then you just had big shots from Josh Hart, from OG Anunoby, and Mitchell Robinson hitting free throws. That's a great win. That is a fantastic win. 800-919-3776. Phone calls coming in. We'll get to you when we return. Pat O'Keefe, I'm excited. He's going to hop on the program in the 10 o'clock hour. He was on a call with Monica McNutt. I was listening to his highlights driving in because the network, they were running through the highlights of the Knicks win over the Sixers yesterday. So you heard Pat O'Keefe on the call. Big, nice call, Pat, on the Josh Hart circus shot three. So we'll get a chance to talk to him. Robin Lundberg going to join us, of course, in the 10 o'clock hour as well. So still a whole lot to do as we march this thing toward noon right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This The Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Brunson is bottled up, bounce pass McBride between the circles. 8 seconds to shoot. Oubre's guarding Brunson. McBride has the ball. Hart on the right wing. One dribble, fires a contested three-pointer. It's good! Knicks back up by seven. 60 seconds to play.
Great call from Pat O'Keefe. Him and Monica McNutt are going to be on the call again tomorrow in Game 2 from MSG. Knicks looking to go up 2-0 in that series. You heard Josh Hart hit that big shot. He talked about after the game, going into the series, knowing the Sixers were going to dare him to take threes.
The last two games of the regular season, our season series, you know, Nick just, his game plan was just to play off me and just let me shoot and dare him to make shots. So I knew that as soon as they, you know, they won it, it would be the same thing with, you know, with Spo if Miami won. So that's something that I knew I had to really focus on. And, you know, this whole week has just been getting up shots, you know, pre-practice, post-practice, going back at night, just getting up shots, getting up reps. I knew it was going to, you know, be that way in terms of just open shots. And, you know, fortunately, I was able to, you know, knock it down.
And that's a microcosm of what you've come to love about this team that makes it so endearing. And it also highlights how ridiculous it was to ever suggest that they should tank last Sunday, that game against the Bulls, just for a more favorable matchup. That's not what made this team great. It's the fact that they embraced all of the adversity all season long, did not back down to anyone, and looked at every opponent in the playoffs and said, yeah, we can beat them. We don't need to compromise the integrity of basketball or, you know, sully our brand by, you know, diminishing what we've accomplished this year. Let's go for the two seed. Let's get 50 wins. And whoever comes out of the Miami Heat and Philadelphia 76er playing game, we want them. And, you know, Josh Hart yesterday was being dared to take three-pointers. He didn't shy away from it. Kept on shooting. Then in the fourth quarter, he made the Sixers pay. So he embraced that. He didn't run from it. And he's a baller, man. He's a hooper. He's a winner. And it's, well, one of the reasons why he's become such a fan favorite, because here in New York, and this is with every team, it's not just about being great. Like, it's not just the, you know, the Aaron Judges and the, you know, the Saquon Barkleys. Like, those aren't just the only guys who get celebrated. We want to see you play with some passion, some firepower, bring the energy. Big moments, you come up huge. And look, I'm not even a Knicks fan, but one of the reasons why I love Josh Hart so much is because, you know, my favorite team drafted him, the Lakers. So it's, you know, that's the type of culture in sports that has been created in this town. Of course, we love winning. We love, you know, hitting home runs and throwing all the touchdowns. And but it comes down to, when we see you on the biggest stage, do you want it? Or do you run away from it? And this guy wants it. So shout out to him. 800-919-3776. Oh, let's go to Mervin Winfield, who says, y'all Knicks fans, man, need to chill out. Y'all Knicks fans need to chill out. Just hear what you got, Merv.
Yeah, just let's calm down and take it one series at a time, one game at a time. This team is, that's the way I think they're built. Like, every possession, take it. And what you're talking about with Josh Hart, he reminds me of another number three back in the day with Starks. Like, you know, press him and do what you got to do. But he's going to come up big. And like you said, it was a bad game by Brunson. And we still, this team just keeps on coming at you. And then one more thing real quick with Thibodeau. Nobody's giving him any credit. Like, they always say he doesn't play his bench. He doesn't play his young guys. McBride was in there at the end.
Yeah, it's a dumb narrative, Merv. And it's a great point. I appreciate the call. The idea that Tom Thibodeau is, you know, anti-young player. Did y'all watch Derrick Rose become the youngest league MVP in NBA history under Tom Thibodeau? Did you not? Okay, so now let's bring it more recent to the Knicks. Emmanuel Quickly, did anyone envision him being in the conversation for Sixth Man of the Year when he was drafted? He was pretty good. Mitchell Robinson's become the best version of himself under Tom Thibodeau. Miles McBride had the game of his life in a playoff game under Tom Thibodeau. This idea that, like, he doesn't gel with young players. He doesn't have much of a tolerance for immaturity. And a coach of his stature who's had a lot of success doesn't have patience when it comes to, you know, guys just figuring things out on the fly. But if you prove you can play, if you play defense and you're going to go out there and make good decisions, he's not going to be anti players that help him win. He wants players who help him win basketball games. Whether you're young or you're old, does he have some favor with, like, veterans? You know, the Taj Gibsons of the world? Sure. And part of that is, like, creating some locker room culture. But it's not anti-young guy. Look at all the young guys who have flourished under him. So I always thought that narrative was silly. Yusuf's in New Jersey. What's up, Yusuf? Hey, Yusuf. Yusuf. This is actually sad. Because it felt like you were going to make a point that was intriguing because the description says Brunson's bad game was a blessing in disguise. So I was really intrigued to see, like, what you meant by that. But unfortunately, I made you wait too long, so you found better things to do. But Yusuf, if you're still listening to the show, give us a call back because I want to hear you elaborate on that point. Let's go to Tamim in Brooklyn. What's up, Tamim?
Hi. Good morning, Ty. Great show.
Thank you, man.
Always,
appreciate
fun listening. So my question, LeBron, right? The Nuggets are so good. I don't think they're going to win this year. I would love that. But I'm thinking next year, right, with Bronny, he has incentive to leave whoever takes his son. Mm-hmm. If he goes to, like, the Kings or Philly or New York, would he be the undisputed great if he could go to another city, win another championship with another team and another coach that's never won? Would he finally be the undisputed GOAT over Jordan?
No, Tom Meeman, I appreciate the call and the question. And look, I think LeBron's the greatest player I've ever seen. The numbers speak for themselves, the accomplishments. It's an unprecedented run of excellence to have done this for 2+ decades. And you heard the stat on the broadcast during the game last night where, like, all the guys who have made it to year 21, I think there's only been 7 of them in NBA history. He's, when you combine the first 6 guys, LeBron's outscored all of them in year 21. 6 guys have made it to year 21. In that 21st season, LeBron's outscored the totality of the other 6 guys. So, I mean, like, the resume speaks for itself. But as far as, like, undisputed, there are people who, In the midst of their intellectual dishonesty, have decided there's nothing he can do to change the narrative. Like, they've already seen enough. There's no way he can, you know, take that torch away from MJ. Which, look, I think that if you feel like Jordan's the best player ever, like, that's legitimate, obviously. Like, that's a very popular opinion. I'm not going to say that's crazy. I would sound nuts. But I just get mad at those who pretend it's not a conversation, who pretend it's foolish, or engage in something that's like, yeah, it's never going to happen. So you mean to tell me if he wins the next 3 titles, He's not going to usurp MJ as the greatest in your mind. So for those who have decided that it's never going to happen, that's where we're pointing this the answer to, as far as like, can it be undisputed? He's never going to assume the role of undisputed because people have just decided it could never happen. And that decision was made 13 years ago at the end of that Mavs series in 2011. They decided, yeah, he could never be the greatest player of all time. So that's where we sit. 800-919-3776. Keep the phone calls coming. I'll get to you guys when we get back. We also talked about the Rangers. Got a big game one coming up today at home against the Capitals. A series. I mean, they better not lose this series. Better not lose this series. And I'm wondering, like, as far as the New York teams, when's the last time a New York team had this amount of pressure on them? Like, right off the bat. Because I think the Yankees every single year, because of the old championship or bust mantra, but there's so much pressure on the Rangers. I think they'll handle it fine. The Capitals shouldn't really be, you know, too much of a test for them. But I'm just trying to think of the last time a team's had this much pressure on them going into a postseason. And the Yankees are going to be the immediate answer just because of, you know, the fabric of what they've created as far as, like, legacy. But it's just an interesting conversation to get into, which we'll talk about coming up at some point during the show. But want to continue to hear from the Knicks fans as well. 800-919-3776. Go until noon today right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Nice touch by Tom Bauer there. So this past week we celebrated the 30-year anniversary of Illmatic dropping. You knew that, right, Tom?
Oh, of course.
So that's why you played It Was Written, which came out 3 years later in 96. That was a good year for hip-hop, too, 96. Jay dropped his first album, Biggie. That was a good year for hip-hop. I just came across this incredible stat before we get back to your phone calls at 800-919-3776. So the Nuggets back in March of 2021 traded for Aaron Gordon. And since then, they've played 37 home games against Western Conference opponents that ended in regulation. They're 37-0 in those games when all five starters start and finish the game. 37-0. So when Michael Porter Jr., KCP, Jamal Murray, Jokic, and Aaron Gordon start and finish a game against a team in the Western Conference at home, they don't lose. So that just spells doom, assuming health is not a concern for anyone in the Western Conference. And last night, the Lakers had a nice lead in the first half, played well, but then that third quarter was the third quarter of hell. D'Angelo Russell struggled. LeBron didn't play well in the fourth. Anthony Davis was tremendous. I thought he was the best player on the court yesterday. But Jokic and Murray and MPJ, they were just too much for them to handle. So the Nuggets go up 1-0 in that series. And the Wolves, how about this for Anthony Edwards? I thought he was the biggest winner of yesterday. Opening day of the postseason, and he had a spectacular performance, setting the world on fire after a lackluster playoff, I guess, what do you want to call it, genesis to his playoff career last year. He went off with 33 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and a 25-point win at home over the Suns, and he's trash-talking KD. So you talk about, like, faces of the league, supposed to be Zion, supposed to be Ja Morant, but they've had their issues respectively. Anthony Edwards is a name, not just because he's a tremendous basketball player, but because of the energy he brings, the personality. He wants all the smoke, and he's, going at KD and Booker yesterday, talking trash, which is great for the game. So the Wolves get a win in that series. And then the Magic fell on the road. Donovan Mitchell had a 30-point game. Cavs win that. Then, of course, the Knicks get the game one victory at home over the Sixers. Let's go to Spike in St. Pete. What's up, Spike?
What a treat to get you back-to-back, man. It's the right time to have you on. Oh, anytime's the right time. Well, you nailed everything. The best performance yesterday was Tom Thibodeau. Absolutely brilliant. Matchup centric. And by the way, I love Anthony Edwards. When he came out of Georgia, I said he'll be the face of the league after I watched him a little. But the other co-face of the year, unequivocally, it's not the time to talk about it, but you brought it up, is Paolo Banchero.
Yeah.
Watch that. He reminds me of the Porter. He's got the size, and he can shoot, and he can hit the boards. And that team's a year or two away. OKC is a year or two away. I'm sticking with Denver. But the reason yesterday was so good, the Knicks were, and Brunson's a rhythm player. I'm sure you'll agree, because I know you still play hoops. He's a rhythm player, and that it's rust again against rest. You can't win with a team of 10 Josh Harts, but you can win the chip if you have one or two of those. And what OG Anunoby, that's 21-3 since he plays. If you watch him move without the ball, I know you do, he does every little thing, and yet he'll not nail a shot at the end or make a block. They're going to sign him. I thought the matchup at center was better because of Mitch's girth. I just thought it was a great game. And you know I've been a Deuce McBride fan since West Virginia.
Yeah.
And my best friend who played before Larry did at CCNY said the same thing. He says, look, cut the kid loose. We know he's got great hands and great feet. And my buddy Trey from Brooklyn, Texas, we always say the same thing. You could be undersized, and if your feet and your hands move, he picks you up at 94 feet or he'll pick you up at 47 feet. It was a gutty performance. That's the second toughest game to win in the playoffs is the first game
and
at
the
home.
Closeout.
That's when you get picked,
yeah,
right? That's when you get picked off, right?
Yeah, the closeout. The first game and the closeout. You're right.
Right, right. Now, I know Lundberg's coming on. I'm really happy that he's getting a hit with you. Good luck to him. Got Basketball Centric, the crew this morning. That's wonderful for me. Thank you. I know it's just coincidence. But the bottom line with the Knicks is that Leon Rose put together a great squad. Listen, they got Deuce McBride for 3 years for $14 million. They knew that the other guys didn't fit, but there are no postmortems. It's one game. I expect the Knicks to come out. I give Embiid a lot of props. He gave it everything he had.
Yeah.
But if you would have said before the game Maxey and Embiid had those stats, you would think it's a real close game. And that was a real close game.
And Spike, that's why, and I appreciate the call, that's why I'm not trying to speak with hyperbole. It's just when you look at what Maxey and Embiid did yesterday, the health of Joel the rest of the series, and there being a huge question mark hovering over that. The Knicks' backcourt was 11 of 36. DiVincenzo didn't even play in the fourth quarter. Brunson had maybe the worst game of his season, and you still lost. Like, that was the gotta-have-it game for the Sixers, which is why I picked the Knicks to win in seven. I feel stronger about that, and maybe even more that it ending quicker because of what we saw yesterday. You lost a bad Brunson game. It's not good news for you going forward. Hour number two coming up next right here on 98.7 ESPN.